It's a gathering of my people today. I desire to do something in you, to do something through you, to do something with you. You have gathered in my name, and I will inhabit your praises. I will show myself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. People are like tea bags. You have to put them in hot water to see how they'll respond. It's never too soon to plan for eternity. I like this. These are just little phrases. Jesus donated blood to keep me alive. Thank God for that donation. Amen. Every drop of blood he shed flowed to set me free. Amen. Get faith. It's free. Every time we get together, we have a special. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4. Today we're going to do some work on our foundation. When you think of a sure foundation, what do you think of? Solid rock? Do you think of it ever going to move? It's going to stand strong no matter what comes against it, right? And we have the most surest, the most secure, the strongest foundation that we could ever have as a believer in Christ Jesus. And our foundation is love. I want to talk to you starting this morning and throughout this month about how love is a sure foundation. All right? You want to have a sure foundation of something that's not going to fade away, or it's not going to change easily, but it's going to be solid, steadfast, stable, secure. Well, we have a God who is faithful. All right, even when we're not faithful, he remains faithful because faithful is who he is. And he is also steadfast, immovable, unchanging, stable, and sure. And the very God who is all these things, our God is love. Therefore, since God is love, and God's not going anywhere, God's not going to fade, therefore that makes love a sure foundation. Love's not going to fade. Love's not going to decrease in strength. All right? It's only going to get better. And in 1 John chapter 4, let's start with verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." If you're going to define love, you cannot define love apart from God. People who try to define love, they come up with all these words and all this, that. Listen, if you don't include God in the definition, it's a wrong definition because God is love. If we didn't have a God, there wouldn't be any love. Okay? "And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Can we say that together? Say that with me. Say, God is love. God is love. Think about that for a minute. He is love. Love is not just something he does. He is it. He is the embodiment of it. He is the example of it. He is love. And that's never going to change because God is never going to change who he is. Okay? Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." How many know when love operates, it's always going to show? It's always going to demonstrate. All right? Love doesn't do things secretly. Because the very love has to express itself. Love has to show itself. And this the Bible is saying to us, for in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So God demonstrated his love to us by sending Jesus Christ, the epitome of love. Okay? He put love in a flesh body. Let's read on. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love is transferable. If God loves you, you can take the very same love that he gives to you and share it with someone else. Just like you can share God with someone else. Amen? It's meant to be shared. Love is meant to be shared. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. You want to have boldness in the day of judgment? Fall in love with Jesus. Experience let the love of God overwhelm you, because it will overwhelm you. The devil tries to say that you're no good, but love says, no, you are good because you're created in my image and in my likeness. You were made out of love by love. Love made you. So if love made you, you might as well love yourself. Amen. And that'll help you love others. Because we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? So God is love. What a powerful statement. What an awesome thing. I want to give you some characteristics about love just to let you know that it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to diminish in strength or power, but it is everlasting. All right, go with me to Jeremiah 31, verse 3. See, I came up with this phrase based on these scriptures, some of these scriptures that we're going to look at. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn to you. Did you know that God has an everlasting love towards us? A love that doesn't fade, a love that doesn't fail, a love that's going to be strong throughout eternity. I came up with this phrase, combining all these scriptures, some of them we're going to look at, all right? God loves you with an everlasting love, and he makes everlasting covenants with unfailing promises. He is the everlasting God who will exist forever and ever. He is not going anywhere, ever. He extends his everlasting arms to you and holds you close to his heart. He is the king who will rule forever. Okay? He extends his everlasting mercy to you, which is new every morning, and establishes you in an everlasting, unfailing righteousness. The way which he leads you is an everlasting way, and his testimonies are true and sure forever. His wisdom will endure forever, and his dominion will never cease. He is your Father forever and loves you with an everlasting love. His strength will never weaken, and his joy in you will be forever filling your life. He does not faint, nor will he ever grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. His kindness towards you is forever, and it produces an eternal salvation. He will shine brighter than the noonday sun forever and ever. His light never dims. His kingdom will never end nor be destroyed. He is all-powerful and encourages you forever. That tells me that if God is love, then love is a sure foundation. You can build your life on love. You can raise your kids on love. You can serve God on love. You can find your purpose in love. You can live in love because love is a sure foundation. Love's not going to go anywhere. All right? Now, I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but let's look at some of them. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25. It says, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. See, I got really excited about this word everlasting. Not stopping, not failing, going on forever. And if you're going to have a sure foundation, you got to have something that is this. And since God is love, God is a sure foundation. All right? Go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. This is a powerful verse here. Look at verse 33. Genesis 21, 33. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Whoo! Did you know that you serve an everlasting God? And he loves you with an everlasting love? There's nothing that you could do to diminish God's love for you. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't correct you, doesn't mean that he won't correct us, but nothing we can do will ever stop God to stop loving you or to diminish in how he loves you. He will always love you because that's who he is, because love is a sure foundation. Go to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before you and shall say, destroy them. Aren't you glad God uses his everlasting arms to thrust out enemies before you? When the devil messes with you, he messes with God, and that puts him in trouble. Amen? But our God is everlasting. He's eternal. He doesn't faint. He doesn't weaken. He is the Almighty God. He has an everlasting kingdom. All right? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. See, what happens is God is love. And when you get born again, the love of God enters into your heart. You know, the Bible actually talks about how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Okay? So God can take a person who never knew love, never knew what it was, never knew who it was, and he can fill them with his love and transform their life. All right? How many of you here have received the love of God? Did it make a drastic change in your life? Did it cause you to live differently and do different things? Okay? Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 30, and the Lord God, the Lord your God, will bring you unto the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And the Lord God will circumcise your heart. See, prior to knowing Jesus, we were hardwired for darkness. We lived in darkness. We did our own thing. And it doesn't matter if you were a good person, when we were without Christ, we were lost, right? And then we met Jesus, and he changed our heart. He circumcised our heart. He performed an operation on us. And he tweaked our heart so that his love could enter in. All right? In other words, you might say that he added some spiritual Drano to our lives to remove the blockage so that his love could flow through us. In order for his love to flow through us, it has to get planted in us. It has to be put in us, all right? It's like when your car is on E. What do when our vehicle's on E? We fill it up, right? And that enables you to go from point A to point B. Well, God had to fill us up with his love. God had to change our heart because we were hardwired. Now, once God has come into our life, we're now hardwired for light, not darkness, for doing what's right. So in order to benefit from the love of God, our hearts had to change. God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, that your children's also, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Oh, when we love the Lord God, how should we love him? We need to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, our emotions. You know, we have emotions, we have feelings. We should express our feelings towards God. We need to love him with all of our soul and everything, all of our strength. We need to fall in love with God because God is love. Without God, we can't know what love is. We can't operate in love. We need God because he is love. And God wants us to operate in this love. Amen. So we need to build our lives on the sure foundation. See, when you love God, it translates into action. If you're not doing what you need to be doing and you're saying that you love God, you lie. Okay, God said he loved the world, right? Did he leave it just at the phrase? He actually took action to that phrase. Men who are married, did you have any action? Did you take any action to show the woman that you love, the woman that you said, I love you? Did you take any action to reemphasize those words? All of you that are married, you should be saying amen. I mean, the only person that had a good was Adam. He fell asleep and woke up and said, there's your woman right there. And he woke up and said, whoa, man. You always thought that'd be great. I mean, that's a great way to find a wife. Just go to sleep and wake up and there she is. God just brings her to you. Maybe some of you singles need to meditate on that verse a little bit. But see, God couldn't have come into our lives like he wanted to if our hearts didn't change. Our hearts needed to be changed, transformed by love. See, what God does is he takes a heart of stone and he removes it and he gives us a heart of flesh. It's a lot easier to shape flesh than it is to shape stone, isn't it? I mean, aren't you glad that God doesn't have to use a chisel on us or a jackhammer for some of us, you know? We've gotten so hard and so stiff and so callous that God has to really break up some fallow ground with a spiritual jackhammer. But in order for us to benefit of the love of God, God had to change our heart. God had to do something different in us. He had to give us a new nature. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a new creature. There's a difference. God removes the sin nature and he puts his nature. He puts love in us. He chalks us full of love. He stuffs us full of his love so that we can share that love with others. God did not give you a spirit of fear, did he? He gave you a spirit of love and of power and a sound mind. God took his love. He took the very substance that he is. And he made us, he wove us a garment made of love. He's given you a spirit of love. A spirit of love is like his spirit. He gave you the ability to love like he does. He increased your capacity to love. He increased your ability to receive love and to give love. Because we are meant to love. We need to love God first and we need to love people second. And our love for God needs to be translated into practical action. What are some qualities of the love of God? You don't have to turn there, but over in Genesis 13:8, Abraham and Lot, they had grown so much that their herdsmen were quarreling. Okay? Was Abraham a person who loved God? Yeah. Him and God had a relationship. And God was able to speak to Abraham, and he was able to say, go here. And Abraham went, not even knowing where he was going, but he went because he knew the person who was telling him. Okay? And so Abraham was benefiting from the blessing of God. And his sheep were multiplying, and Lot's sheep were multiplying, and they got to be so big that where they were couldn't contain them. Can you imagine getting to be so big that there's not enough for two groups of sheep? All right? Now, here's the quality of love. Abraham did not allow arguing or strife to brew. One of the qualities of love is it quashes strife. Love will never fester strife. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, it says, take no thought of wrong done to you, doesn't it? We're not supposed to keep a record of the wrongs that were done to us. But if we see strife starting to brew, we know from James that with strife comes every evil work. So Abraham, because he loved God and God loved him and he was in a love relationship with God, he saw strife brewing and he knows that love does not involve itself in strife. So one of the qualities of love is it does not allow strife to fester. It stops it immediately. And what did Abraham do? He sacrificed himself, because another thing that love does is it sacrifices. He said, okay, Lot, you choose. Wherever you go, I will go the opposite. Abraham was the one in charge. Abraham was the one in authority. Lot should have submitted to Abraham. Abraham could have said, Lot, I want you to go there. And Lot had no choice. But Abraham didn't do that. Because that's not what love would do. Love told Lot, you choose. And Abraham stood in faith in God. He put his trust in God, not man. And when you trust God, you can allow people to make some choices that you may not necessarily agree with, but God will, if you trust God, he'll make it better for you in the end. So Abraham operated in love. You can't operate in love and strife. You can't be argumentative or combative and say that you're in love. That's not what love does. That's not a characteristic of love. Love does not act that way. And what happened? Lot chose. And we know from his choice, he made the wrong choice. Because his choice got him into all kinds of other trouble later on. But then Abraham was walking away, and because he put faith in God, God said, Abraham, every place that you see, in every direction, I'm going to give you. So he turned out better. See, when you operate in love, and when you trust God on your decision, you will come out better. You will come out on top. Because love is a sure foundation. See, we underestimate the power of love because we love hot dogs, we love our dog, we love our kids, we love this, we love that. So we kind of dilute what love really is. Love is not a feeling. Love is a person. And when you come in contact with that person, then love becomes a choice and love is an action. Go to Matthew 22, 41. Matthew 22, 41. It says this. Verse 40. Well, let's back up here a little bit. Let's go back to verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you realize that when you love God this way, you give him your best? Amen. Does God deserve our best? Yes. He deserves our best effort. He deserves our best energy. He deserves our best resources. Amen. Doesn't he? Because I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. Then he said, the second is like unto it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And notice, you cannot do this on your own. You got to do it through him. Amen. Then he said, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what I gathered from that is love upholds the law or God's word. Love will never go against what God said in his word. Because God is love. Do you realize every word that God speaks is a word of love? The Bible is God's love letter to you. Amen. You know, God's like Hallmark. He cared to send the very best. But when you read the scriptures, God is communicating how much he loves you. Amen. Because it's all out of love, because he is love. So, that's a powerful thing. You know, love, the law and the prophets, they don't hang on prophecy. They don't hang on anything. They hang on love. Love is really the foundation of how we live as Christians. It's the base of operation by which we choose, we take action, we treat people. It all has to be anchored in love. Amen? I mean, this is Jesus' heart cry. He showed us that he loved us and he wants us to love each other like he loved us. God does not lower the standard for us. In Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36, you don't have to turn there. Love is merciful. Love is merciful. Love is forgiving. Love gives second chances based on repentance. When Jesus, they brought to him a woman who was caught in adultery. The Pharisees brought him. Now, I always have this question is, why didn't they bring the man? Because it takes two to do that. Anyway, so they brought this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus. Now, they wanted to stone her because they did not know the love of God. They had not encountered the love of God. They had not received the love of God. Matter of fact, Jesus said of the Pharisees at one point, he said, you are of your father the devil. Now, that may have not been all the Pharisees, but that was a few of them. They weren't children of God. Now, when the woman was brought to Jesus, did he say, you bad sinner? You should know better? You broke my law? How could you? God does not do that. Love does not do that. First of all, he had to deal with the accusers, because Jesus knew that the ultimate accuser is the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren. So he wrote some things down, don't know what he wrote, and they, you know, he said, you without sin cast the first stone. And isn't it funny how they wanted to condemn this woman who had sin, but each of them had sin too. Their sins just were different than her sin, but sin is sin. So what did love do? Love said to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? I don't know. Love said, well, I don't accuse you either. But then love said, go and sin no more. See, because love is a powerful force. Love is a strength. Love doesn't compromise. Love doesn't bend. Love loves. And love is merciful. That's another quality of love. Is that love is merciful. Love is a command of the Lord. John 13:34. This is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It is a command. We are commanded to love. Why? Because when you walk and operate in love, you are being most like God. Because God is love. And love is a sure foundation. So love is a command. Notice when Jesus gave that command, he didn't say, love if you feel like it. He didn't say, love on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but not on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. There's not a particular day, place, or hour that you should love on, because you should be love if love is in your heart. The reason that you can love is because love is in your heart. Love has come into your life and enabled you to love. Say, I can love like Jesus loves, because his love is in my heart. Amen. Go to John 15:13. Let's look at this one. This is, you know, love's got a lot of qualities and characteristics. You can't list them all. Unless you want to have church for 4 or 5 hours at a time. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So what do we know from love about that? We know that love is sacrificial. Love is willing to be inconvenienced. When Jesus was in the garden, before he was crucified, was his flesh willing? Let me put it to you this way. Did his flesh have any reservations of being crucified? He said, not my will, but yours be done. He said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass, but not my will. So what did love do? Love sacrificed its own will for the betterment of others. Because love is sacrificial. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're supposed to sacrifice yourself, not the other way around. Uh-oh. Now you're messing with me, Pastor. I know. We got to get this straightened out. Love is the one that's supposed to sacrifice. And if we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church, men who are married, we're supposed to be the ones who sacrifice. Because love is sacrificial. Love is giving. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Love sacrifices. Love gives. God is love. He's a sure foundation. This is how we got to build our lives. Is this helping anybody today? I mean, if we're going to operate in the law of God and all the prophecy, we're going to have to do it in love because that's what all this stuff hangs on. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In a lot of ways, we need to improve our love walk towards God and towards people. Because you know what I've learned? It's not so much the big things that mess us up, but it's the little things. If you're faithful in a little, you'll get to be faithful in more. But what if you're not faithful in the little? You're going to be stuck. God wants to see how we handle the little. How we handle the little things. All right? Because little sins, you don't start off making big sins. You start off making little sins, and then they get bigger. Because it's an unseen trap that we fall into, that it's a snare from the enemy. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Woo! Love is greater than faith. Did you know that love is greater than prophecy? Love. Now, these three abide. These three need to be in us. These three work together, but the greatest of them is love. You want to be the greatest person in the kingdom of God? Be the greatest lover. Be the greatest server. Be the greatest giver. Be the greatest sacrificial person. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't make you a doormat. God didn't call you to be a doormat. I mean, could they walk on Jesus? No. See, love is strong. Love doesn't compromise. Love is a powerful force. It does not fail. It cannot fail. Because love is a sure foundation. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. How do you know if someone is really spiritual? What is the true measurement of spirituality? How many scriptures they can quote? Or how much knowledge they have about characters or books of the Bible? Or whether or not they can use the gifts of the Spirit, does that mean that someone's spiritual? No, the greatest measure of spirituality is how much you love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on what? Love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, the word perfect in the Bible is maturity. So the only way to really measure the maturity level of a person and their spirituality is how much they love. Love is the only measuring stick that can accurately determine the spirituality of a person. How much you love God and how much you love people. Because if you're not loving God, it's going to be hard to walk with him. And if you're not loving people, it's really going to be hard to be effective in this world. Because guess what? God loved us while we were yet sinners. We were apart from God. We were doing our own thing. We were separated from the life of God, and God loved us. And it was his very love that drew us to him. It was his very love that showed us the way in which we needed to go so that we could come to him and get connected to his love. Thank God for his love that he loved us with while we were yet sinners. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Did you know that love brings peace? He said, above all these things, put on love. So he's still talking about love. It's the bond of perfectness. It brings the peace of God which rules in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Oh, are you thankful for the love of God today? I'm so thankful that love came to me. I don't know where I'd be today if love hadn't come to me when it did. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Woo. Do you realize that the love of God works in conjunction with the word of God? Because the word of God is love. And we're still talking about the things that happen when we put on love. All right? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. So everything that we do now has to be done out of love, because we're doing it to represent the Father. And the best way to represent the Father is to do it in love, because God is love. When you're living in love, you're living in God. When you're walking in love, you're walking in God. When you're standing in love, you're standing in God. Amen? It's so important, the love of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm just giving you some characteristics of love so that we can operate this in our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 12. Did you know that once you come in contact with love, it can increase in your life? And the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? In love, one toward another. And God gives us families to practice our love. Aren't you glad that we can practice our love? Amen? Because families see you for who you are. Your friends may not always see what your family sees. And God gives us families to practice exercising the love of God. Because we all have in-laws and outlaws. We all have white sheep and black sheep. Right? Well, so did Jesus. He came into a dark world. You realize that light came into the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not, because they didn't receive it, because men love darkness more than they love light. But it didn't stop the light from coming in. Jesus came because we were messed up. I mean, we were the ones who allowed sin to take over this world. We say, why wasn't there, Pastor? Yeah, listen, every one of us have done something wrong knowing it was wrong. We all would have done what Adam did. But notice how it's the Lord wants to make your love abound. You can increase your love. You can expand your love. And it's a rubber band that will never break. It can always get larger. It can always become more. It can always grow in power. Because love does good to people, not bad to people. Love defends people, it doesn't accuse people. Okay? So our capacity to love can be greater next year than it is this year. Because the Lord can expand our capacity. He can increase and we can abound in love. Love can increase and abound. And that's what our love needs to abound. It needs to get more. We need to be more in love with God. We need to be more on fire for God. Listen, we're heading towards the finish line. And we have one moment to do something with the love of God in our life. And that is not, it's not for us to slack in the love of God. The Bible doesn't say the Lord will help you decrease in love. God's not a God of decrease. He's a God of increase. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. El Shaddai is God who's more than enough. El Cheapo is the flesh that is greedy and selfish, and it wants to do things for itself. And then verse 13. When love abounds in your life, it says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Did you know love can establish you unblameable in holiness? Because God is holy and God is love. God is he's blameless, and therefore love is blameless. He says, before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Love is the object of our faith. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, how much mercy does he have? Abundant. He's got more mercy than what we need. And the only way to get it is to come to him, humble ourselves, and come to God. Okay? Has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. And undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom through now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So when we love God like he wants us to, we have an incorruptible inheritance. We have abundant mercy. We have a lively hope. We are kept by his power. We greatly rejoice. And though we face trials and temptations, when we're rooted and grounded in love, we're going to come out ahead. We're going to come out better than what we did. Amen? We can't really hide when our love walk isn't what it should be. Because if love is an action and love is choice, our actions are going to reveal the level of love that we have for God and for people. And we can't really hide when, because it's going to come out. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to get ready to close. I want you to let this be a day to renew your love for God. Maybe your love meter has been running low. And maybe things for God have not been increasing in your life, they've been decreasing. Well, today you can get your love tank charged. And you can experience the love of God that will fill you through and through and satisfy you. All right? Let's go back to 1 John. He said in verse 7, let us love one another. Is there an area in our life that we're not loving another like we should? Maybe you got some people that are just causing you problems and you don't know how to deal with it. Well, let love get recharged in love today, and let love fill you, and let love deal with it. Then it goes on to say, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So we get born of God and we know God. How do we demonstrate that we know God? We love Him. How do we prove our love to God? We prove our love to God by keeping His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. You know how many commandments are in this book? It's more than just 10. Every word of God is a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Well, how do we love God with all of our heart? How do our actions demonstrate that we love God with all of our heart? Are we obedient? Do we give God our best? And listen, love builds you up. Love doesn't tear you down. Love doesn't put you down. It builds you up. Love edifies. I want you to be edified today. I want you to be built up today in the love of God, because the love of God is the only sure foundation that you can build your life on. Jesus came out of heaven and He came to earth. God subjected Himself to be in a flesh body, to be limited by time and place. When Jesus was on the earth, He could only be in one place at one time. Now, God the Spirit couldn't. The Spirit of God is unlimited. He can be any place, any time. But while Jesus was walking the earth, He could not be in two places at one time in His physical body. But the love of God, I want you to develop a passion for the love of God. And love ought to spur us up into action. In other words, what I'm saying is this. The only way that we're going to improve our life is if we improve in love. The only way that we're going to get the riches of God is if we fall in love with His Word and study it. Because everyone, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. When we're not operating in love, it's like we're saying we don't know God. But love is here today. Love's got everlasting arms. Love's got eternal promises. Love is a sure foundation. Love never fails. It'll hold up under anything. Anything that you could ever go through, love can heal you. love can help you. Love can change you. See, the problem is we don't want to change. That's the problem. We don't want to change. We want to keep doing our way. We want to have a say in this or that or that. We don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. But you can't do it your way and succeed. We got to come to grips with doing things God's way. Love is here today. The love of God. The compassion of God. The strength of God. His love is here to minister to us today. His love wants to touch you today. His love wants to heal you today. His love wants to lift you up. But the question is, do you really want to allow love to have to work in you like it wants to? That's really where the rubber meets the road. See, when you allow the love of God, you know, God will allow us to go get to our wits' end when we realize that we can't change anything ourselves, and then we say, I need you, God. He'd say, okay, I've been waiting for you to say that. I've been here ready, you know. God did not come down into the garden and knock the fruit out of Adam's hand because he gave him his word. He said, look, if you eat this, you're going to die. Love allowed Peter to deny Jesus, even though he told him ahead of time, you're going to deny me 3 times. I will never deny you, Lord. Peter repented. And Peter was restored. Saul did not repent, and Saul was not restored. So the question today is this. I see what love wants of me. Love is looking for some people who will give their all to him without restriction, without hindrance. Like we sang that song this morning, I surrender. Do we really surrender? Let's really surrender all today. Amen? Now, every one of us know of changes that we have to make because every one of us, there are areas in our life and in our service to God where we fall short. But love wants to make up the difference today. Amen? Would you be willing to let love make up the difference today in your life? Let's stand on the sure foundation of love today. Amen? Now, if you feel in your heart today that the Lord is speaking to you and moving in your life and you would like to receive prayer, I want you to come up right now in the name of Jesus. Just to come on up and say, Lord, I want love to have its way in my life completely and wholly and fully. It's just an opportunity to change direction, to change the way we think about things. You know, if you're dominated by negative thoughts and negative words, then love is being hindered from operating in your life. And you need to come and just allow God to clean that area of your life up. God's not a negative God, He's a positive God. And if we're stuck constantly spewing out negative words, then that means love is not working like it should. And you need another dip in the love pool. And ask yourself this question. Is God pleased with the way I live my life right now? The things that I do for Him, the things that I do for His Word, the things that I do for His... Is God pleased with the way I do things now? If not, then there's some difference that love needs to make in your life. Oh, Rabakasanda, Rabatakasanda. Father, I break the power of every lie that was spoken in the past It is gone. It's under the blood. No more to be taken out and looked at and considered in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare right now that love makes her free indeed. Free to be the woman that God called you to be. Free to do the things that God called you to do. Strength to do it in the name of Jesus. Love is here to heal you and to lift you up this morning. Receive the love of God in Jesus' name. You are going to experience a greater degree of the strength of love. I see like a tractor, and God's given you more power, more torque to pull things and to move things. He's increasing the torque in your life. The love of God is causing you to abound and increase. There's an explosion taking place right now of the love of God inside of you in the name of Jesus. Enjoy the fireworks show that comes from love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. With love, you cannot fail. With love, you will never lose your way, because the love will illuminate the way in which you need to go. So, Father, I thank you right now that love's going to strengthen you today. You're going to experience the love of God and the strength of that love, the unfailing, unfading love of God, that sure foundation, where you'll be rooted and grounded in it. You'll be strong and mighty, bold, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father, for your love. Touching her right now. Lord, just touching her and filling her. Lord, let the goodness of God come upon her right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, you are a daughter of God. And he's working in you mightily. Receive the love of God in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks and praise that you wrap your loving arms around him right now. And he's picking you up. He's holding you close. Oh, he is re-emphasizing how you are his son, how he's called you. Oh, walk worthy of your calling. Because the Lord loves you. He brought you out of darkness. He brought you into the light. He brought you into the land of plenty that's flowing with milk and honey. Oh, I give you thanks and praise, Father, for changing and rearranging the things in the name of Jesus. Love's going to make the path smoother. Oh, in Jesus' name, receive the love of God today. Oh, God's love for you will never fail. It will never end.